I'm John Batch with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, writing at Defining Ideas about Puerto Rico, but it also includes the Philippines, because in the period of time between the 18th and 19th century and the 19th to the 20th, the word colonial underwent transformation, and then again into the 21st. And now the word colonial is regarded as derogatory of whoever it's flung against. It's being popularly used now because of the Middle East tragedy. But the word has often been a problem for lawmakers for many, many decades, even centuries. Richard, if I understand it correctly, Puerto Rico is a good example because its original possession by the United States came in war, 1898, in the Treaty of Paris, and then it turned to something called the insular cases. What are those, Richard?
Well, these are islands, and they're in very different circumstances. But what happens is the question arises, how do you treat these two areas, the Philippines and Puerto Rico? The Philippines are actually a very tricky case, because when the United States took it over, there was an active insurrection inside the place. And nobody thought that, given its distance, that it would ever become a state inside the United States. Situation with Puerto Rico was much more complicated. And so when it came to the Philippines, there was no legislation that regulated it. President William McKinley said that we're at war. So he sent instructions to Elihu Root, who was the Secretary of War, saying you have to suppress this insurrection. And then when the whole thing is suspended, you transfer authority to a commission, which is going to be designed to figure out how it is that you prepare, under our leadership and control, the Philippines to be set free as an independent nation. And the person he made as head of that commission was William Howard Taft, who had been a previous Sixth Circuit judge and is one of the great figures of American history, the only man ever to be both president and Supreme Court justice and so forth. And they went through exactly that program. They did it more or less in that way. In the situation with the Puerto Rico, there was no insurrection, so they didn't use any war powers and keep it under the presidential control. They passed something called the FORACA Act, which was designed essentially to allow the administration and the government of the Philippines by the United States in terms of the situation. Now, why is this a battle? Because there were some people after the PD of Travis who said, look, we do not want to ratify this treaty because we don't want to be in the business of holding these places as colonies. And they were strongly anti-imperialist. There were other people who said, well, we've got to do all of this stuff, keep it in order, and we'll try to do it as in a benevolent fashion. And that's exactly, if you read the memo, what McKinley said. It was a surprisingly generous statement as to his ultimate goals and aspirations, with the effort to turn things over to the Philippines, local governments, as fast as they possibly could, which is exactly what Taft did in the 3 or 4 years that he remained commissioned. But then cases start coming up, and they're very odd cases. And so the first of these cases was one that involved the question as to whether or not goods which came from the Philippines into the United States could be taxed. The answer, a case called the Lima versus Bidwell, the answer to that question was they could not be taxed because the moment that the Philippines, rather the Puerto Rico in this case, was taken by the United States, it was not a foreign nation, and the tariffs could only be imposed on goods coming from foreign nations. So the insular cases basically gave Puerto Rico a preference, which it sort of retains to this day. And then the second of these cases, a case called Downs, was much more difficult because we had to figure out what the status was of Puerto Rico as a territory, because there was here a movement to impose a lower tax, and this lower tax could not be justified as a tariff. But the question is, do you want to treat the Philippines as if it were a state so that you couldn't impose this tax on the grounds that you do not impose taxes that are not uniform across all the states? And the Supreme Court, when it looked at it, said, there's nothing we know about how this thing ought to be treated because we've never had territories in this way. And so there was a very controversial discussion as to whether or not when you take something like Puerto Rico, do you have to understand that when it's a territory, it has to be on the road to statehood or not? And in 1898, we had annexed the Hawaiian Islands with the idea that they would become a state as they eventually did. But Congress did not do that. When it came to Puerto Rico, it took a much more uneasy and guarded stand.
We have a minute, Richard. Go ahead.
Okay, and so what happened eventually was that the United States said, we're not going to treat these things as territories becoming states. We're going to give them a special status, after which it turned out the question was, how much do we preserve of their local institutions? And Taft, again, in 1922, made the very powerful point, if they don't have juries and they don't want to use juries in a mature country, we're not going to force it. So the irony was, and I'll end on this note, is the charges of colonialism are made against a man who tried to preserve local institutions against American interventions in Overline. It wasn't a colonialist effort in the worst sense. It was an amazingly moderate and sensible set of decisions.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, writing at Defining Ideas.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,